Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. Today we're going to start out with a few scriptures in the New Testament, or Brit Hadashah. We are going to talk about what Yeshua told his disciples in Matthew 24:2, Mark 13:2, Luke 19:44, and Luke 21:6. So let's go ahead and read those scriptures. And going out, Yeshua went away from the set-apart place, and his taught ones came near to point out to him the buildings of the set-apart place. And actually there, the word buildings in the Greek is G3619, and it refers to architecture, for example, concretely, a structure, figuratively, confirmation. So basically, it's the architecture that the disciples were pointing out to Yeshua. But let's start again. And going out, Yeshua went away from the set-apart place, and his taught ones came near to point out to him the architecture of the set-apart place. And Yeshua said to them, do you not see all these? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another at all, which shall not be thrown down. Now let's look at Mark chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And as he went out of the set-apart place, one of his taught ones said to him, teacher, see what stones and what buildings. And Yeshua answering said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another at all, which shall not be thrown down. Again, the word here for buildings could actually mean architecture, the architecture. And of course, the disciples were pointing to the stones when they say, teacher, see what stones and what architecture. Now we'll look at Luke 19:44. Actually, we're going to start in verse 41. And he, Yeshua, came near, and he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you only knew even today the matters for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, because days shall come upon you when your enemies shall build a rampart around you and surround you and press you on all sides and dash you to the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Again, not one stone shall be left upon another. Now we'll flip over to Luke 21, starting in verse 5. And as some were speaking about the set-apart place, that it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he, Yeshua, said, these that you see, the days are coming in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So we see in four places that not one stone of the architecture of the Temple Mount or the temple would be left upon the other. He doesn't actually just say not one stone of the temple would be left upon another. He's looking at the architecture of the Temple Mount. and the whole temple, which probably included the wall, the retaining wall that is now known as the Western Wall, or the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, the wall that holds up the Temple Mount complex upon which stands the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So if Yeshua said, not one stone should be left upon another, why is that wall still there? Some say that that wall is not actually part of the Temple Mount complex. That's a possibility. They use these scriptures as a reason why that cannot be part of the Temple Mount structure, because Yeshua said not one stone would be left upon another, and obviously those stones are still stacked up one upon another. They have not yet been thrown down. But there is another possibility that I'd like to visit today. Perhaps this prophecy that Yeshua made 2,000 years ago was mostly fulfilled in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, but perhaps it was not completely fulfilled in 70 AD. Perhaps the rest of the stones are to come tumbling down, and not one will be left upon another sometime during the end, before Yeshua's second coming. That is a possibility, especially in light of recent events at the Temple Mount. I'll read to you an article which most of you have probably seen by now. The article that I'm going to read comes from bridgesforpeace.com. Tuesday, July 24th, 2018, a large stone detached from the Western Wall early Monday, shattering in the egalitarian prayer area only a few meters from one of the women praying there. No one was hurt. Then we'll skip down a couple paragraphs. The massive rock fell just hours after the evening prayer that concluded the Tisha B'Av fast, the date on which both temples were destroyed, when the Western Wall is particularly crowded with worshippers. Security cameras at the site captured a woman praying late at night when one of the wall's rocks smashed several meters from her. The article goes on to say that Yizhar Hess, the executive director and CEO of the conservative movement in Israel, said, "This is not something common and has not happened in the past. It could be because of fatigue. The Western Wall is the object of our prayers and a memory of the temple. However, it is also a 2,000-year-old retaining wall, and it should be examined from an engineering point of view." Western Wall Rabbi Shmuel Rabinovich said that it is extremely unusual and rare incident, which has not occurred for many years. The fact such powerful incident happened after the Tisha B'Av fast, during which we mourned the destruction of the First Temple and Second Temple, triggers questions too complex for the human soul to contain and requires soul-searching. And perhaps I might add, scripture-searching. Let's take a look at some scriptures that talk about the wall falling or being destroyed. We just read how Yeshua said not one stone would be left upon another, and we see that those stones are currently still one upon another, if they are indeed part of the Temple Mount structure that was standing 2,000 years ago, then in order for this prophecy to be completely fulfilled as Yeshua said that it would, not one stone will be left upon another eventually. Is this the beginning or the warning of more stones to fall in the future? Let's take a look at some passages about walls falling in the Old Testament. We'll start with Ezekiel chapter 8, and this is not actually about the entire wall falling, but we'll see that Ezekiel is shown a hole in the wall. This stone falling to the ground, if you watch the video, did leave a big gaping hole in the wall. So it's just interesting to take a look at this passage and just consider it in light of the rock falling from the Western Wall and leaving the hole. And it came to be in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth of the new moon, as I sat in my house with the elders of Yehuda sitting before me, that the hand of the Master Yahweh fell upon me there. And note, it is the sixth month, this is the fifth day of the month of Elul, when this word came to the prophet Ezekiel. He goes on, "And I looked and saw a likeness, like the appearance of fire, From his waist and downward the appearance was like fire, and from his waist and upward the appearance of brightness like glowing metal. And he stretched out the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, and brought me in visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which causes jealousy. And see, the glory of Yahweh of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. And he said to me, Son of man, please lift your eyes toward the north. And I lifted my eyes northward, and north of the slaughter place gate I saw this image of jealousy in the entrance. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations which the house of Israel are doing here, driving me away from my set-apart place? And you are to see still greater abominations. Then he brought me to the door of the court, and I looked, and saw a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, please dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, I saw a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the evil abominations which they are doing there. And I went in and looked, and saw all kinds of creeping creatures, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel carved all around on the walls. And facing them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Ya'azaniahu, son of Shaphan. Each one had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each one in the room of his idols? For they say, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land. And he said to me, You are to see still greater abominations which they are doing. And he brought me to the door of the north gate of the house of Yahweh, and I saw women sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? You are to see still greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the house of Yahweh, and there at the doors of the Hekal, or the house of Yahweh, between the porch and the slaughter place, were about 25 men with their backs towards the Hekal of Yahweh, and their faces toward the east, and they were bowing themselves eastward to the sun. So Ezekiel was able to see all of these abominations were revealed to him once he saw a hole in the wall. Is this new hole in the wall perhaps a sign that abominations are beginning to be revealed in Israel? We certainly need to keep them in our prayers. Okay, now let's flip over a couple pages to Ezekiel 13. We'll start in verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, Hear the word of Yahweh. Thus said the Master Yahweh, Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit without having had a vision. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor do you build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of Yahweh. Their visions are false, and their divinations a lie, saying, Thus declares Yahweh, when Yahweh has not sent them, yet they expected the word to be confirmed. Have you not seen a false vision, and have you not spoken a divination of lies? You say, Yahweh declares, when I have not spoken. Therefore, thus said the Master Yahweh, Because you have spoken falsehood and seen lies, therefore see, I am against you, declares the Master Yahweh. My hand shall be against the prophets who see falsehood and who divine lies. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Master Yahweh, because they have led my people astray, saying peace, when there is no peace. And when one is building a wall, see, they are coating it with whitewash. Say to those who coat it with whitewash, It shall fall. There shall be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, fall, and a stormy wind breaks it down. And see, the wall shall fall. Shall you not be asked, where is the coating with which you coated it? Therefore, thus said the Master Yahweh, I shall break down with a stormy wind, in my wrath, and in flooding rain, in my displeasure, and great hailstones, in wrath, to consume. And I shall throw down the wall you have coated with whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, and its foundation shall be uncovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I shall complete my wrath on the wall, and on those coating it with whitewash, and say to you, the wall is no more, nor those whitewashing it. The prophets of Israel who are prophesying concerning Jerusalem, and who are seeing visions of peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Master Yahweh. And I looked up the word for whitewash, and it talks about slime or mortar. I suppose that could be the mortar between rocks. Anyway, it's interesting. If you look at the wall, you see all of those little pieces of prayer paper in between the rocks where the mortar would be, and they're all white. I don't know that that has anything at all to do with this scripture, but I just find it interesting. But this scripture does say that it shall fall, and it says the wall is no more. That could also be translated as saying, not one stone will be left upon another. Okay, now let's flip over to Isaiah chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. Please let me sing to the one I love a song for my loved one regarding his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug it up and cleared it of stones, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a watchtower in its midst, and also made a winepress in it. And he waited for the yielding of grapes, but it yielded rotten ones. And now, O inhabitant of Jerusalem, and man of Yehuda, please judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I waited for the yielding of grapes, did it yield rotten ones? And now, please let me inform you what I am doing to my vineyard, to take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, to break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. And I lay it to waste, it is not pruned or dug, and thorn bushes and weeds shall come up, and I command the clouds not to rain on it. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Yehuda is his pleasant plant. Again, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5 says, And now, please let me inform you what I am doing to my vineyard, to take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, to break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. Now let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30. And go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it is for a latter day, a witness forever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who refuse to hear the Torah of Yahweh, who say to the seers, Do not see, and to the prophets, Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us what is smooth. Prophesy deceits. Turn aside from the way, swerve from the path. Cause the set-apart one of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore said the set-apart one of Israel, Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this crookedness is to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly and swiftly. And he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces without sparing, so that there is not found among its fragments a shard to take a fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cistern. Again, rereading verse 13 of chapter 30 of Isaiah, it says, Therefore this crookedness is to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly and swiftly. Now let's take a look at Habakkuk chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I stand at my watch, and station myself on the watchtower, and wait to see what he says to me, and what to answer when I am reproved. And Yahweh answered me and said, Write the vision, and inscribe it on tablets, so that he who reads it runs, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, again, and it speaks of the end, just as the one we just read in Isaiah chapter 30 did. And it does not lie. If it lingers, wait for it, for it shall certainly come, it shall not delay. See, he whose being is not upright in him is puffed up, But the righteous one lives by his steadfastness, and also because wine betrays him, a man is proud, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his appetite as Sheol, and he is like death, and is not satisfied, and gathers to himself all nations, and heaps up for himself all peoples. Shall not all these lift up a proverb against him, and a mocking riddle against him, and say, Woe to him who increases what is not his! Till when is he to load on himself many pledges? Do not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who make you tremble wake up, and you be plunder for them? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood, and doing violence to the land, to the city, and to all who dwell in it. Woe to him who is getting evil gain for his house, in order to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of evil. You have counseled shame for your house, to cut off many peoples, and your being is sinning. For a stone from the wall cries out, and a beam from the timbers answers it. Again, we are told this vision is for the time of the end. And in verse 11, we are told, A stone from the wall cries out, and a beam from the timbers answers it. Both Isaiah 30 and Habakkuk 2 were speaking of the time of the end regarding the wall. Now lastly, in closing, let's go to Lamentations chapter 2. In the daughter of Yehuda, he has demolished his booth like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. Yahweh has made the appointed times and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and despises kings and priests. In his raging displeasure, Yahweh has cast off his slaughter place. He has rejected his set-apart place. He has delivered the walls of her palaces into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of Yahweh, as on the day of an appointed time. Yahweh has planned to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not turned back his hand from destroying. He has made the rampart and wall to lament. Together they have languished. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her rulers are among the nations. The Torah is no more, and her prophets have found no vision from Yahweh. Again, in verse 8, Yahweh has planned to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. Is this again a reference to not one stone will be left upon another that Yeshua told us about the architecture of the Temple Mount? Seeing as this is the wall of the daughter of Zion, it could be talking of the end time wall in Jerusalem. Okay, now obviously the Lamentations 2, the majority of it did already happen with the destruction of the first and second temples. But perhaps since Isaiah chapter 30 and Habakkuk 2 were referring to the destruction of the wall in the end days, in the latter days at the end of time, perhaps also the wall of the daughter of Zion and the wall of the daughter of Jerusalem in Lamentations 2 is also in part referring to end times Israel and the western wall that is still standing, which, if it is part of the Second Temple Mount architecture that Yeshua and his disciples were looking at when Yeshua said not one stone would be left upon another, perhaps it is also referring to the destruction of this wall in the end times as well. Just something to consider in light of the large stone recently falling and the hole being opened up in this wall. Again, please let us all pray for Israel. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let us pray for the salvation and the safety of our brothers and sisters that live there currently. And let us pray for the day when Yeshua comes to rule and reign in righteousness and justice from Jerusalem, when her walls will be rebuilt and her temple will be rebuilt by him. Thank you, Abba. These are our prayers. We do pray for all of the people currently in Israel and all of your people around the world, Father. We pray that all of us would return to you, Father, that we would cry out to you, that we would seek you and your wisdom and your truth, Father, that we would not seek man, that we would not seek Egypt, that we would not seek Mitzrayim, Father, but instead we would seek your Torah, your word, your Yeshua, your salvation, Father. Open the eyes of your people. Spare us, Father. Have mercy upon us. Thank you for your great mercy and for your salvation. In Yeshua's name, our salvation, your Son, we pray. Amen. Well, we're all out of time for today, but Yah willing, I look forward to studying with you again next week. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
O Yahweh, how great are your works!